This podcast is brought to you by Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington.
Welcome to Virginia Reloaded, the GOA podcast that talks all about the Commonwealth and liberty beyond the Commonwealth. My name is John Crump. I am the state director for the state of Virginia for Gun Owners of America, Washington's only new compromise gun lobby. I am joined by my co-host from Gorillas and Guns on YouTube. His name is Scott Ayers, but he also goes by Silverback. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, John. Happy to be here. It's going to be exciting to get this podcast on the roll, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I am from the northern part of Virginia, and Scott is from the Richmond area.
Yep.
So I live in a enclave of anti-gunners.
I live in a mixed basket.
Yeah, you live in a mixed basket. You have a little bit better than I do when it comes to gun rights down there. Yeah. People don't.
My county is really good for gun rights.
We're going to start off every episode by discussing one of our guns. And the gun I'm going to discuss is my JSD Supply 320 SIG. Homemade gun, unserialized gun made from a kit. And the reason why I chose that gun tonight is because one of the bills that we're going to be talking about has to do with unfinished firearms. What's your gun of the night, Scott?
Well, I got this nice old antique Colt 38 Special Agent that I'm kind of cleaning up a little bit.
Oh, what year is that from?
1975. Yep, born the same year as me.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. Yeah, so 1975, born is the same year as you. You have a gun. If your gun was a few years older, maybe it might not have a serial number, and that is going to be illegal if the Democrats have their way. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're in right now. We are in what's called a crossover period. A crossover period is basically where House bills go to the Senate and the Senate bills go to the House of Delegates. Very, very simple. It happens at the end of every session. They look at the bills, and if there's two bills similar, they might combine them, but both chambers have to pass the bill for it to become law. And we have three bills going from the House to the Senate right now that we really need to defeat as gun owners and as GOA. Do I got that about right, Scott?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
This is one of the crucial times because the House leans a little bit more crazy than the Senate. The Senate mm-hmm. seems to be a little bit more reasonable when it comes to these gun laws. Full disclosure, I don't think we're going to be able to kill all of them. I think we might be able to take out two of the three, but we will try to get rid of all of them, and that's what we have to do. But we can't do that without your help, and you can go to gunowners.org and join up at GOA. If you don't want to join up, you can also just enter your email address and be on our list where you'll get alerts, and we will let you know what's going on. One of the bills I really, really want to talk about. This is by far the worst bill that's out there. It's HB 2276, which is the ghost gun bill. Scary words, because they like to use scary words.
I don't think of ghosts as being scary, you know. I think of them as being more like Casper, the friendly ghost, you know.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Okay, so HB 2276 would ban plastic firearms because we know they're undetectable, even though they have metal barrels, which is kind of crazy. And also guns without serial numbers, even if they're antiques. Also, 80% lower, like when you make ARs. I have a Ghost Gunner 3, which actually mills out ARs, and it's a really cool product. I love it, and I can make my own ARs that are non-serialized, and that's perfectly legal. Or P80 kits. I have a polymer P80, which I've showed you before, which is based on a Glock 19, and I love it. It runs smooth, and I built it with my own hands, and also my JFD supply P320. I actually have a couple polymer 80s. I have a couple 80% lowers that I built into fully functional ARs. Do you have any? I know you're going to a gunsmithing school, so.
Right. Yep. I don't have any lowers that I've actually 80% lowers that I've finished, just because I never bought the tooling to finish them off. But I am looking at the JSD supply P320 frame right now to get one, because I like the look of it better. It looks like it's a little more ergonomic than the actual frame that came with the firearm anyway. So I was thinking about getting that and finishing that off with the parts I already have in my 320.
A really cool thing about the JFD supply kit is, or any really P320 kit, is you can actually drop it in a SIG frame. It will run fine because the serialized part or the firearm part is actually the fire control group.
Right.
So that's cool. Well, one of the questions I have for you, being a gunsmithing student, and one of the reasons why I want you on this show, because you're a gunsmithing student, is a lot of gunsmithing schools send out kits where the gunsmith in training have to finish the kit. And this law is going to make that illegal. One of the scary things about this law is that there's no grandfathering either.
Well, that will definitely make it hard for the collectors, because, I mean, if you're collecting some guns that you might have picked up that could be from, like, say, Civil War, I know those are few and far to come by, but if you do happen to pick some up or have some, you know, maybe that were passed down the line through family, that's going to make those guns illegal and you won't be able to keep your family heirlooms any longer.
Apparently. Yeah. You would actually have to destroy it, or you would have to turn it in.
That's more than just violating your Second Amendment rights right there. I mean, that's destroying pieces of history, you know, especially if it's from your family lineage, you know, going down the line, and it's wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, basically, before 1968, firearms were not required to have serial numbers. So there's a bunch of, I actually got an old shotgun with no serial number in the next room. It's from like the 1920s. So there's no requirement for that. That is going to become illegal, and I'm going to have to destroy a piece of history that's over 100 years old or turn it into the police for them to destroy. I don't like either of those choices. I don't think I need to make either of those choices. I shouldn't have to make either of them.
Yeah, I just can't believe that they would even think of such a thing. I mean, I guess their ultimate goal really is just to get rid of all of them from citizen hands in this case, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. That's what they want to do. They want to get rid of all firearms. They're taking little by little, and they're using really scary terms like ghost guns and everything. If you ask them what a ghost gun is, they're not going to know. Most of the people in there probably think that criminals are making ghost guns within like 5-10 minutes. I don't know. Have you ever done a like the JFD supply P320 kit?
No, I have not, but I've seen plenty of videos of guys who have done them, and it's some work.
You need to bend metal, you need a drill press, you need files, you need sandpaper. It's not,
gotta have a little bit of skill.
Yeah, and as Riley Guns 1776 says, what's the point of a registry? What's the point of a serial number besides a registry? And he is definitely right. I think it scares them that people have the ability to make their own fire. Also, I think 3D printing has scared them. When I talked to Cody Wilson was the first guy to print a working firearm. He's also the CEO of Ghost Gunner and also Defense Distributed. One of the reasons why he did it was to defeat gun control. Once it is out of the bottle, it defeats gun control. And I don't think they can put it back. I don't think they're going to be able to regulate what files you have in your computer. They're going to try, but this is just a feel-good thing to give back to the anti-gunners. And all it's going to do is hassle legal gun owners like you and me and everything else. What, are they going to stop people from going to Home Depot? Yeah, I mean, you can buy a pipe from Home Depot and turn that into a shotgun. That is what they want to do. People have been making firearms in this country since the country was founded. There is nothing that is un-American about making firearms. They believe that they can scare people by saying this is a new thing. People never made their firearms before. And that's just simply not true. They're lying to you. They're lying to me. They're lying to everyone out there. And that's the whole entire point. Because they get their talking points from anti-gun groups. And Virginia is inundated by anti-gun groups. They're inundated by Bloomberg money. He has bought off tons of politicians. And I can name a bunch. But this bill needs to die. Needs to die. The bill in the House only passed by a margin of 52-48. I think with a strong lobbying effort, everyone out there, everyone watching this show, if you're in Virginia or not, I really don't care. Just go ahead and write anyway. But everyone watching or listening to this show needs to contact their representatives, their senators, and say, vote no on this disgusting anti-liberty bill. And a little birdie has told me that 30 minutes after the end of session tomorrow, there's going to be a special judiciary meeting. And tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the podcast platform, tomorrow is already gone. We're recording this on Tuesday, the Tuesday before you're hearing this. Tomorrow, a half an hour after session, the judiciary is going to be voting on that bill. And the judiciary has a lot of people who are not too friendly with guns on there. For example, Sasslaw, who've never met a gun bill, an anti-gun bill, I should say, that he didn't like.
Like, we're in for a number there. Definitely going to go for it.
I mean, there are a couple good allies on there, but it's going to be telling. One of the swing votes is Chap Peterson, and he's on the judiciary. So after tomorrow, we should get a good idea of how the Senate's going to vote on this and how much effort we need to put on these people and who we need to put the pressure on. So keep informed, keep in the Facebook group. If you're on the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/GOA-Virginia, and you can get all the information there. Also, go to gunowners.org and sign up for our mailing list, even if you don't join, because with all the deplatforming going on, VCDL was kicked off of Facebook, for example. Yep. It's only a matter of time. So with that said, we need to get connected. And one of the ways we can get connected is through the mailing list. But right now, it's time for everyone to get off the bench and get into the game with our national makeup of the Senate and the House of Representatives and the makeup of our Virginia delegation in the Commonwealth. We need help. And with the presidency under Biden, we need to fight back. And we can fight back by contacting our representatives.
Yep. Yeah. Keep the pressure on them. You know, the more pressure they're getting, the more they'll think twice about it.
Yeah, we really need really strong pressure, and we need true grassroots efforts. Mm-hmm. So, and we need everyone out there to start calling, blowing up phone lines, blowing up the switchboard, emailing, and everything. And if you go to gunowners.org, you can find all the information right there. Get on our mailing list. We'll hit you up with alerts that will have actionable items, like a one-click thing. You click it, you put your name down, and you can send them an email.
A lot of people just really can't. I know my fact is I might get a little too emotional when I'm in there typing them a letter. So I kind of like the pre-written ones so I can skim through it. And, you know, if I decide to make a few little edits here and there, that's cool too.
Yeah,
and then I'll send those across, right? So that way I don't come off as being as forthright as I really like to be.
Exactly. And a lot of these delegates and senators, they just don't understand what the topic is. They don't really understand firearms. And it's our job to educate them. So when we write a pre-written letter, we try to educate them. We need you to educate not only them, but your family members and your friends, and let everyone know, because right now the anti-gun side is doing a lot to scare people with scare tactics, and also words like ghost gun and undetectable firearms. It reminds me, back in the 80s, late 80s, there was a movie called Die Hard 2 that came out, and Bruce Willis, playing John McClane, went on about the Glock 7. And I didn't mean the Glock 17. I meant the Glock 7 is what he said, and how it was made out of porcelain or ceramic or whatever. And it was undetectable, which was a total lie. You know what that did? That got Congress so fired up that they went and passed a bill banning undetectable firearms. It was a movie thing, but these politicians, they saw the movie and like, oh my God, this must exist.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, next thing they're going to be doing is banning Death Stars.
Yeah, because we know everything in the movies is real, right?
Yeah, most of the stuff you see in the movie is not real. That's why they call it fantasy. Yeah, but yeah, politicians aren't up to speed on firearm stuff. And with this ghost gun thing, they're using the same scare tactics. Plastic firearms, undetectable. Well, the slide's going to be metal. The barrel's going to be metal. The firing pin's going to be metal. There's going to be tons of metal. Plus, the ammunition is metal. So, yeah, it will be detected by a metal detector. Groups like Giffords, Everytown, Moms Demand Action, Brady, they tell these politicians the talking points. And the talking points are usually wrong. I used to think, well, maybe these groups are just misinformed and they don't understand about firearms. They don't understand that it's impossible to make a firearm that's fired multiple times, because, you know, Cody Wilson did do the Liberator, that doesn't use metal parts. And Liberator, which is the first fully plastic firearm, actually did use a metal part, used a metal firing pin. And also the ammunition was metal. But groups like I mentioned, all these anti-liberty groups, because they're not only anti-gun groups, they're anti-liberty. Mm-hmm. They mislead politicians into thinking that, you know, I can go and print out a gun in 5 minutes and print out ammunition and be good to go. I can go rob a bank, which is not true. Yeah, I talked to Cody Wilson. I keep on mentioning his name, but we're talking about 3D printed guns and stuff. And he's the first guy that did it. And I asked him, why did you choose a 380 for the Liberator? And his thing was, we used plastic, and that's the only round that we could fire that wouldn't blow up the gun after a single shot. It's like, all right, there you go.
Makes sense.
Yeah. My friend Chris Shoemake is going to turn in his Rod from God satellites and his 20K ton depleted uranium javelin. Those are callbacks to science fiction movies. Mm-hmm. But we need to educate. Wiley Guns 1776 says that we need to educate people without sounding crazy and explain the downsides of these keywords. And I think he's absolutely right. Oh, but I think a lot of it can be taken care of through education. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, the more people know, the better things are. I mean, knowledge is power after all. And they're definitely getting fooled by a lot of these anti-gun groups and anti-gun politicians about a lot of things about guns. And without questioning anything and going out and researching it for themselves or asking somebody who has experience in anything really that you're looking at, you're never really going to know the truth. So you can't just listen to one side of the story and expect to be right off the bat.
That is correct. That is definitely correct. Okay, the next bill I want to talk about is HB 2295, which bans guns in Capitol Square or state-owned and leased buildings.
Now, doesn't this also extend like within a radius of these buildings too, or is it just on the building property itself, such as parking lots and, you know, in the buildings?
It's just on the property, parking lots, parking garages, anything like that. But yeah, this is another bill that solves a problem that's not really a problem. There, how can you
solve a problem that's not a problem?
Well, that's the whole thing. You can't. You really can't. But there is a thing going around that if you make something so uncomfortable and you burden the gun owner so much that they would just choose not to carry guns. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, we have Democrats in Congress that are so afraid of gun owners that they believe that elected representatives are going to kill them.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi and also AOC, who thinks Lauren Boebert is going to kill them.
Yeah. Like, you know, Nancy and skipping her mandatory, you know, search going into Congress also.
Yeah. And she won't go through there.
Right.
A little birdie tells me that Nancy Pelosi does have a concealed carry permit for the district.
Politician, and especially a Democrat politician who, you know, a lot of people don't look favorably upon. You know, I think, yeah, she would go back on her own morals, so to speak, and get a concealed carry and take that around with her for sure.
It's because they value their lives more than they value our lives. And that is just how it is. They just don't value our lives. They don't think we deserve it. It's guns for thee, none for me, or mm-hmm. no guns for me, whatever it is. I can't remember what the saying is.
What's good for the goose isn't good for the gander.
Not in this case.
Right.
They do not like us having the ability to protect ourselves.
Right.
I think this all falls down to them wanting us to be fully dependent on them.
Thought crosses their mind and we can't say anything about it.
Yeah, it's really too bad. I wish they would just be honest. This is also going to be a hard-fought battle, but I think we can maybe defeat this. I think we can defeat all of it. This is one that's going to be hard to defeat, but we have a chance to defeat it. It passed by a margin of 51 to 45, so it's probably going to be closer in the Senate. So this is a bill that I think we have a good opportunity to beat.
The one thing that I think will make it a little tougher is because we do have a lot of those Richmond politicians who are really for banning guns, even just in the city of Richmond, especially when it comes to being at the Capitol. I mean, you see the law that they created that with the whole permitted event thing.
That was a direct result of Lobby Day.
I know Lobby Day takes place around what? The Capitol. Right. So they want the permanent events to come in play. So basically what they're going to do is they're going to take that and use that towards the motion of that towards the initiative for this bill to pass, I think.
Yeah, they are. The whole permanent event thing is crazy because it's also the roads next to it.
Yep.
And think about this way. What is the longest road in your area? Let's say 95. Let's say there's a protest going on next to 95. There's no limit. So that road is adjacent to a permitted event. There's no limit.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, too. So Broad Street is a very long road, and that goes through quite a ways. So, I mean, a lot of people work on Broad Street that I'm sure carry firearms or have concealed carry permits and all that stuff. So, I mean, if you can't carry when you're going to work or going to the store or whatever. You know, that just really, really puts a big damper on things, you know. But do you really think that the police are going to enforce that being so far away, though?
I mean, it depends if you're targeted.
Right. Yeah.
If you're like a gun rights activist that makes a lot of noise and sues the governor constantly.
I don't know anybody like that.
Mr. Crump has a habit of suing me. Words of Ralph Northam. Yeah, I mean, this is just scary, but I think we can defeat this one. The next bill I want to talk about that's going up to the special session in the judiciary probably tomorrow, 30 minutes after it closes, and we really need to hammer people on this, is a bill proposed by Mark Levin. If you don't know who Mark Levin is, in Virginia, Mark Levin was the guy who entered the guy that introduced the assault weapons ban last year, or the assault firearms ban.
I like how they changed the terminology from weapons to firearms, you know, because the weapons thing was just too vague.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. This is HB 2081, right? HB 2081 bans firearms from 40 feet from entrance to any building used as a polling place. Now, interesting thing about this one is that you could be driving by an entrance to a polling place. If you're 40 feet from that entrance, then you are guilty of a class one misdemeanor. So let's say you're going to vote, and a lot of voting places have long driveways, and you plan on parking 40 feet away from the building, but you have to go down this long driveway and pass an entrance, and you get pulled over. They could bust you technically because you are 40 feet from an entrance, even though you're just driving by.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So if the polling place is in a building, like in another room that, say, is 40 feet from the actual entrance of the building, does that still count as the entrance?
The actual entrance to the building.
It doesn't matter where in the building the polling place is at, but if you pass any entrance to that building within 40 feet.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's just nuts. I mean, what if you're just driving by on your way home from work or something?
You're guilty of a class one misdemeanor. All these bills, most of these bills, are here to make it hard for gun owners to go about their business in the common. That is all it is.
He said they want to make it hard for us and uncomfortable for us to carry our firearms, so we'll just think twice about carrying them and maybe leave them at home.
That is correct. It's really ridiculous what they do, but unfortunately, it's what we have to deal with. This one, we do have a good chance of beating, though. It passed 53-47 in the House. So in the Senate, it will be closer. So hopefully we can defeat this one with a lot of pressure. We need to put pressure on the same people. The Chap Petersons and other like centrist Democrats, Blue Dog Democrats. We can put pressure on them. We have a chance of defeating this bill and getting it out of the way. We should have a better idea of how the vote is going to go and how much pressure we need to put on the people after tomorrow. Like I said, this is going to the special session in the judiciary.
Well, if we can keep the pressure on, you know, to those people in the Senate, then I think, yes, we can definitely, squish these bills or, and hopefully have a good outcome and not have any more legislation for the rest of this year as far as that goes.
It also applies to places where they're doing recounts or local election boards are meeting. So let's say a local election board is meeting. You don't even know, and you're just driving by.
Right.
Yeah. You can get busted.
How are you going to know where every election board is meeting? You know, and people don't really keep up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Who knows? The whole bill is quite crazy.
Mm-hmm. See, my polling place, I'm already not allowed to carry a gun at because it's a school. So that already comes into play for me anyway. But, you know, little secret is it's always on me somewhere.
That's why they call it concealed carry.
Yep.
Yeah. But this is one of the bills that are bad, but I do think we have a good chance of beating it. Moving down the line, we are going to go to HB 2128. This one's going to be hard to defeat, to be honest with you. I think we can still do it. This expands the background check delay period from 3 days to 5 days. What that means is right now, if an FFL doesn't get a response to a background check, if you're delayed and the FFL doesn't get a response in 3 days, that then the FFL can do the transfer. They want to change that to 5 days. So the state police have 5 days to decide whether you have the right to own a firearm or not, which is ridiculous. If you're not safe enough to own a firearm, then you shouldn't be out on the streets.
Why delay it that long? Because if on the other side of that, if they delay it past the 5 days, just like it was before with the 3 days, and they don't approve or deny it, doesn't the person purchasing the gun, aren't they just able to get it anyway?
Wiley Guns 1776 asked what problem these Democrats are trying to solve. And my response is they are not trying to solve a problem. They are trying to cause a problem for gun owners. Maybe the state police need to hire more people or streamline their system. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, just maybe, they should just let FFL submit the request directly to NICS instead of the FFL requesting it to the state police, or the state police just types it in a computer and runs a NICS check anyway.
Yeah, they do the same
thing. And charges you your money. But it's all about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's cut out the middleman and make things a lot easier.
But then they wouldn't be able to get their money.
Yeah.
And as G Web says, remove background checks. And that's one thing that G Web always says. If you don't know who Gun Websites is, he's a big YouTuber and he's always talking about removing background checks. So I would love to have background checks removed, but that is not possible in this session. So I want to stop the bad bills. What a lot of people try to do is they say we should push for this, we should push for that. And yes, we should push for all that stuff. But at the same time, we have to stop the bleed when we are in a bleeding situation. Right now in Virginia, that stuff isn't going to pass. Doesn't mean we shouldn't bring it up. And it is brought up a lot. It's brought up tons. But right now in Virginia, we need to stop the bleed. And these bills are the bleed. We have stopped the bleed significantly since last year, with some of the crazy stuff they went in last year, we were able to stop. So the stuff this year is not as crazy, but it is still crazy.
It's bad enough. The theory is, you know, 1,000 little paper cuts will eventually kill you. So that's their idea, is they want to keep adding paper cut after paper cut after paper cut.
Death by 1,000 paper. Also, the point of having them, just why this makes a difference, is very hard to actually get them to do. A lot of times they just will straight up refuse to justify it, or they will appeal to emotion and not actual logic, not actual hard data or anecdotal data, which is always false, usually false when people use anecdotal data. Because if they had actual hard data, they would use the hard data.
The emotion works better on people than facts.
Exactly.
So that's why they always try to tug at your heartstrings, or, you know, bring some kind of emotional factor into it. So you'll sit there and you'll go, oh, my God, I didn't realize.
Or you bring up a victim of violence and use them as a prop.
Well, that's just like every time, you know, and I agree with this 100%. When they see like a mass shooting, especially if it's at a school and a lot of children die, they stand and walk on the graves of these children so they can use it as an emotional tool to make firearms look bad instead of the person looking bad that participated in you know, was in the crime, that did the crime. They want to make the inanimate object look bad, you know, and the only way really you can do that is by, again, pulling on those heartstrings. And for some reason that opens people's eyes more than actual factual evidence.
They act like a firearm is like the ring from Lord of the Rings.
Right. What was it? Wow. Who was it? Was it Maxine Waters or Sheila Jackson Lee who said that she knows a lot of gun owners who, when as soon as they walked out of the door of the gun store, they felt like a killer and that they wanted to kill. I mean, come on now. Are you kidding me? So like you buy this firearm and all of a sudden it's in your head saying kill, kill, kill. Right. Really, like you just gain this instant schizophrenia, you know? I mean, yeah. Come on.
And what a lot of people are saying out in the crowd is that we need to do education for the people on the fence and the people who are misled. I don't believe that all the Democrats and the Senate and the House of Delegates are on the payroll of Bloomberg. And I don't believe that they're coming from a hatred of guns. I think a lot of them are coming from a position of not knowing any better, and they need to be educated. But there are others, including our governor, that are on the Bloomberg dole. Mm-hmm. And Sasslaw and Mark Levine, who we're not going to ever convince because they've taken a lot of money from Bloomberg. So they need to pay back the favors.
Right. And they like that money.
Yeah, that money comes in. Yeah, that money comes in, and that's how they live. Mm-hmm. They work a few months out of the year and just live on the donations from billionaires from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow we should find out more about this. The next bill I want to talk about, since I talked about 2081, we've talked about HB 2295 and HB 2128. Well, we talked about all the bills I wanted to talk about. So with that said, there is a couple things that you guys can do. One, we can make a lot of phone calls directly to the switchboard in the Capitol. You can email. You can get on the GOA mailing list. The GOA mailing list costs you $0. You don't have to be a GOA member. You can sign up. What that will give you is alerts and access to pre-filled out emails. You can go to gunowners.org and join up. And Wiley always says, we always need to be specific on buzzwords and think about how people in the center think. And that is a good idea. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to the next point. We need to talk to our neighbors. We need to talk to our families. We need to talk to people who will listen. We need to talk to people on the fence so we can actually get them over to our side.
If we can take away the narrative they create about gun owners, that's unchallenged. I mean, we challenge it, but I don't think we challenge it enough to the point where we actually take away the narrative. So we challenge it. Basically, we challenge it amongst ourselves. You know, we preach to the choir a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem in the gun owning community. We need to stop preaching to the choir and start preaching to the people on the other side. And that's the education. You know, we don't really necessarily need to preach to them, but we need to educate them and show them that it's not what it's meant to be or what they're making it out to be.
Well, also that and mainstream media and stuff, they try to take away our platforms for what happened to Guns Up TV. Guns Up TV was a show that was on Sinclair Broadcasting. It was on like in the Washington, D.C. area on the local ABC affiliate and affiliates across the country. It had very good ratings. It had excellent production value. What it was two African-American males who talked about firearms and dispelled a lot of the myths. They did an episode on the AR-15, which is just amazing.
Right. But that's what got them in trouble right there.
Well, the email that they received said that it wasn't a right time for a gun show. And they had the audacity to show an AK-47. So that got him kicked off the air. It's very absurd. That was a GOA-sponsored show. Antonia Okenfuller, our director of outreach, was also on the show where she talked about gun rights as civil rights and other things like that. They didn't like that either. They're like, she's a GOA person. Mm-hmm. GOA is known for asking for donations. She never once said, go give money to GOA or anything like that. Right. She talked about gun rights and gun rights as civil rights. And these two guys, which John Keyes is one, and Shermichael, I can't remember what his last name is. Oh my God. Sorry, Shermichael. Shermichael Singleton, that's his name. Sorry, Shermichael. They showed that the myth that all gun owners are racist white people wasn't true. And that got them kicked off. I mean, I fall into the demographic of that, but not all gun owners do.
I'm so, not a white guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to your neighbors, talk to your family, let them know what is up. And push for real acceptance of gun owners. And if you're in the closet, because I know there's a lot of gun owners out there that are in the closet about being a gun owner.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's time to come out.
Right. Especially black gun owners, because of the whole stigma that's been surrounded by that for a very long time. You know, and it's definitely time for them to come out, for sure. because there's no need to hide it. And the more people that know about it and the more people know that just because you're of a specific color and you're a gun owner doesn't mean anything except for that you like your freedom and that you are prepared to defend yourself and your family and your neighbors and your friends for their freedom and their life as well. So it doesn't mean that we're bad people or gangbangers or thugs or anything like that. We're just average, normal people who happen to believe in the Constitution.
Exactly. Also, if you're a brand new gun owner and you bought the gun on the down low, it is time to say, hey, look what I got. I want to take responsibility for my family and I want to take responsibility for my own safety.
Mm-hmm. And let them know, let them see. I mean, especially if you're a person who's a Democrat or, you know, and you bought a gun because you believe now and you see now the benefits of being a gun owner and you believe that, hey, it's not a bad thing. So get it out there. Let more of your Democrat friends know and explain to them why you did it, why you feel comfortable with it. And maybe you can help change more minds as well.
Exactly. With that said, I want to go ahead and start the wrap up here. I'm going to be editing a lot of this out, guys. So if you're out there watching this, it's going to look a lot cleaner. So you're seeing a little bit behind the scenes. I just wanted to get some excitement going for Virginia Reloaded. Our intro song at the beginning, it's not even our real intro song. It's just something I hadn't made. But just throwing that out there. This will be cut.
So we're going to have an intro song too?
Yeah, we're going to have an intro song and outro song. Yeah, we don't have that yet, but whatever. Okay, let's wrap it up here. All right, with that said, thank you for watching Virginia Reloaded Silverback. Tell the people how they can find you.
Well, you can find me on YouTube at Gorillas and Guns. You can find me on Patreon if you want to help support my efforts at Patreon/GorillasGuns. Maybe I'm backwards with that. Maybe it's GorillasGuns/Patreon.com, however that works.
No, it definitely comes at the end of after the .com.
Okay. So just go to Patreon and type in Gorillas and Guns. I'm sure you'll find me. Or you can find my link to Patreon in the description of my videos or on my About Me section on YouTube. You can find my Gorillas and Guns group on Facebook, where we share a lot of 2A news, what's going on around the country and in Virginia. And you also can find me at BlackSwanTactical.com, where I have some gear that you can purchase, some shirts.
Yeah, and all that goes to charity, I believe. Okay, with that said, I'm going to start over here. If you guys want to know anything that's going on in Virginia, you can always hit me up at my email address, which is john.crump@gunowners.org. That's john.crump@gunowners.org. If you like what GOA is doing and we earn your support, you can always join Gun Owners of America at gunowners.org. Just go to gunowners.org. You can sign up for our mailing list or you can join and become a member. We have different tiers of membership from 1 year up to lifetime members. With that said, this is the end of episode one of Virginia Reloaded with John Crump and Silverback, the Manila Gorilla.